Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning, Wednesday, March the 20th, 2024, 12 and a half minutes past the hour, and it is the day after the primary election here in Ohio. Now, honestly, for Marion County, there's a lot of reasons why the primary vote was very, very important. And we're going to get to all that momentarily because we have a guest joining us here in about 2 minutes, so I'm not going to get too deep into this, but we're going to come to it momentarily here, and I think we have our guest on the line here this morning. It was very interesting in Marion County last night. We had two county commissioner races in our primary. Andy Apfeller and Kerr Murray were the incumbents in those races. Andy Apfeller won re-election with 53.94% of the vote against Timothy Mooney, who got 46.6% of the vote. But in the other race, the Republican primary, the incumbent was Kerr Murray. He was running against Jason Schauber and Kevin Davidson. Now, in this race, Kevin Davidson won the race 39.51% of the vote, followed by Jason Schauber 30.84% of the vote, and the incumbent Kerr Murray finished in third place 29.66% of the vote. Now, why is this important? Because as of yesterday, no independents have filed to run for these offices, and no Democrats have filed to run for these offices. So Mr. Davidson and Mr. Apfeller will run unopposed in the fall. So for all intensive purposes, Mr. Apfeller and Mr. Davidson will be our next county commissioners. And joining us this morning, I believe in his first press interview since last night, the man who will be our new county commissioner starting in January of next year, Kevin Davidson. Kevin, congratulations.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate your time and letting me talk to you for a minute.
I'm so glad you were able to call in this morning. It was a three-way race last night. We had incumbent Kerr Murray. We had City Councilman Jason Schauber. How did you feel going into this race?
Oh, gosh. You know, it was something that I think God led me to for several years. And, of course, as deputy sheriff for 35 years and retiring to do this, I just felt it was the right time in the to put my name in or fill my hat, as it will, into the ring to do this.
Running against an incumbent is always difficult, and certainly somebody who's a current city council member. What do you think gave you the edge?
I think friends, family, neighbors, and just getting out in the community, I mean, more and more every day and doing something and being involved and talking to people and seeing what's on their minds and what they want to see going forward.
What is campaigning like in Marion?
Oh, campaigning in Marion, Scott, is Marion's very friendly. Lots of people want to talk to you. They want to listen. They want to hear what I have to say more than that. They want to make sure I'm just not a mouthpiece, so to speak, as we see a lot of times, not so much on the local level, but in state and national politics and all the spewing of hatred a lot of times. And I think Marion's a much more open to listening and wanting to be heard.
Kevin, when I look at this, it's fascinating because you got 10% more of the vote than the incumbent Kerr Murray and 9% more of the vote than Jason Schauber, who finished in second place. Why do you think Kerr Murray, the incumbent, who's been there for a little while now, did not do as well in this primary, finishing last amongst the three?
Oh, I don't think I can really speak to that. I just looked at the voters, and they picked who they wanted to see going forward, and I lay it all on them, and they're what they want to see is in Marion's future.
Do you think people are looking toward the future at this point and maybe want a change? We hear that a lot in politics, but do you think people are looking for a change?
I think we are, and you know, people go to serve, and that's what I want to do. I'm there to serve, you know, serve the people, and my whole campaign was based on the Vision 2040, as we called it, because I made it clear that, so you could see it, as if you talk about a seven-year-old, your second grader, that won't put his shoes on and go to school today, in 2040, will be 23 years old, out of trade school, out of college, probably married with a kid or two of his own, and that's only 15 years, Scott. I mean, that's not Buck Rogers in the far, far future. So we have to get things ready now so that kid, that 23-year-old in 2040, will want to stay here with his family and continue to make Marion a better community.
We've got about 8 months before you will take office, which is unusual. Primaries are usually held in May, but in a presidential year, it comes a little early. Plus, we had no Democrat or independent in this race, so there will be no opposition in the fall. How do you expect to plan or spend the next 8 months before you would take office?
Well, for a little bit, I'm going to rest. It's been a long, really threw my hat in. Of course, I did a lot of stuff in November, December of getting ready for this. And then January 2nd or 3rd, I threw my hat in the ring with my petitions. And then, so it's been 11 weeks of just nonstop. But I will continue my volunteering and serving and around the community and getting out to the different county agencies more and more to talk to them and see what they got in mind for the future as well, because I don't, of course, being involved for 35 years with these people, I know most of them, but I want to get on a more personal level and see what they might need for their agencies going forward.
Have you spoken with Kerr or Jason since the results came in last night?
They both sent me messages last night, and you know, so I sent them back and thanking them for the campaign, and I thank Kerr for his service, and I hope and pray that I can continue to live to the standards that he has set for the last 7 years at this point, but yeah, I want to live up to his standards and as well.
When you take office next January, what is going to be your main focus? What needs to be done?
Well, the 2040 vision, and that starts with infrastructure, and that's what encourages business to come here. You know, we have, like I've talked about before, with this Intel going in Licking County. We're not getting that kind of a business, but we can get a lot of the feeder businesses, just like when we got the things on Kellogg Parkway that fed into Honda. I think a lot of those tech agencies will want to locate close by to Licking County, so if we can get them to come here, that'll bring lots of good-paying, you know, jobs. We have to have sewers and roads, and the rail's mostly already here, but the sewers and roads are the most important thing to promote and get done.
As we were talking about earlier, last night, Andy Apfelfeller was reelected, and Dr. Davis is there. Have you had conversations with them about how you guys will work together, things you can get done at this point?
Not so much yet, but I'll look forward to doing that as well. I mean, I know them both. Gosh, I've known them both for many, many years, so we're not strangers. So I will definitely reach out to them, and I don't want to get in the way of what they're doing now, because, you know, Kerr Murray's still there. It's his job for the next, well, until the end of December. So I don't want to get in their way, but I still want to at least get some groundwork before we get there in January.
You know, Kevin, something interesting, as I had said, there will not be any race in, well, it'll be an unopposed race in the fall. The Democratic Party does not have a whole lot of people running for office. Certainly in these two races, no Democratic opposition. Why do you feel that is in Marion? We're seeing few and fewer Democrats running for office.
In both parties, it's hard to get people to want to run and to get good candidates. So I think that's up to both parties to try to search out and encourage good people to seek public service and to be in these offices, because we need good people. We need young people to be engaged in our community.
And how do we get that done? It is so difficult, as you alluded to earlier. People say, I want to leave Marion. I want to go someplace else. How do we get that narrative changed?
Well, I think what Mayor Collins is coming in with his, you know, love your city, and then I have, you know, I'm tagging my line with it. We are Marion. If we can get the county and the city to be together and be one, for so long we've been two separate entities working towards maybe the same goal, but to combine our efforts would be so much better in the long run. We all benefit, because sometimes, you know, LaRue and Caledonia and Morrow and Waldo, they think of themselves as independent from Marion. I want to try to bring everybody together and be one united Marion to reach those goals.
Kevin, are you surprised by the negative nature, not in your particular race, but just the negative nature overall that local politics has taken on? It used to be that locally, you know, you might have a dust-up here or there, but it wasn't very personal. That happened more on the state and national level. Now, locally, there seems to be a lot of animosity and negative campaigning.
I know, and it breaks my heart. It really does. I thought, because on a small level like we are here, I thought we could all at least disagree, but not be disagreeable, and we could all, you know, work towards a common goal. But sometimes I think that's trickled down from the national and the state to the, you know, DNR. And I'm not going to work with you, but I'm not going to be like that. I still think I can work with anyone in any of these offices to work together. And sometimes even within the same party, there's a lot of fighting, and I like to get away from that and get back to where we were before, being one Marion.
You know, that's an interesting point, because as you say, there's fights within parties, there are fights between the two parties. Really, locally, what do the DNR mean? Do they mean a whole lot to you locally?
Do they mean a whole lot locally? I don't think so. I don't think so, because I think we can still, if we look beyond our, who we're looking for the governor or the president, and think about, again, just think about Marion and your neighbors and your friends and your family here, and let's focus on that, and then that'll get us away from the animosity, I think.
What do you think will be your biggest obstacle when you take office?
Well, the biggest obstacle always is money. Every department needs money, because, you know, commissioners are, are a board of directors, so to speak. Well, they're not legislative like city council. They direct, you know, funding and where money goes, and every office holder throughout the county is in charge of their own budget, of course. But then bigger things, the commissioners have to decide, you know, what's priority. And I think that's the biggest struggle, is making sure there's enough money to fund all our offices, as well as work on these projects as far as infrastructure goes.
Kevin, when you were out campaigning, what were the voters saying to you?
A lot of them said they wanted some changes. They like to see some changes and just some positive direction, which is the way I worked the whole time I was out there for the last, it was 11 weeks, just trying to be positive and don't be negative about the Kerr Murray or Jason Schauber or anybody else for that matter.
Being a former deputy sheriff, what do you think, how do you think that will prepare you for this job?
It gives me a lot of course, I've dealt with people my whole life, so I know how to work with people, talk to people. It gives me that little bit of edge to know where people come from. I've seen people from all socioeconomic groups in my 35 years, so I know everyone struggles from the low end to the high end of our spectrums.
You know, it's very interesting. Mayor Collins, a former deputy sheriff, former police chief, you're a former deputy sheriff. Do you think there's something that allows former people in law enforcement to be a good fit in the political world?
I think it's the urge to serve. It's just that we've served our whole lives and want to continue that service, and the fact that we know people and we can relate to people. Not that others can't. But I think we have that edge to where we can just relate to people more.
If you were outside of Marion and somebody said, tell me about Marion, Ohio, I've never been there, what would you say?
I don't know. Start with the home of President Harding. Which is something we're always proud of. And I say that we've got all I feel is Marion's got all these drug problems. Well, every town, every city has drug problems from all ends of their socioeconomic levels, too. So I discard that, and our law enforcement has done so much, and our courts have done so well of punishing those. So that's starting to get rid of that issue and change that attitude, I think, around. And we have several good-paying jobs here, even though, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, everybody came here in the 50s from all the factories, but that's changing. And we have, there are good jobs, but I want to continue to see more good jobs and more industry and more IT stuff come here.
You know, Kevin, in our last couple minutes here, a lot of people feel that the county and the city in past years have not worked as well with each other as they could. Right now, we had Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan on last week, and he spoke to the issue that's going on right now with the city schools and their lease and that problem with the county, which hopefully will be solved. But that city and county government just don't work together as well as they could. Would you like to see that get better, and do you feel that?
Absolutely. I mean, I've talked to Mayor Collins a little bit before, when he first got elected, and about that kind of thing. I promoted that during my campaign too, and now even last night for a quick minute when we had a text, said I'm looking forward to this so we can get together and make us work towards the same goal, because we're all the same community. This is all Marion. It's all part of the same. LaRue has the same wants as Marion City, as Morrill, as New Bloomington, as Waldo. We all want to have a better life for our families and our kids, and we want to have places to go and do things. And so if we work together, we're not working against each other.
Kevin, final question here this morning. When you saw the results start to come in last night and now know how they ended up in Marion County, it was a big margin that you won by, certainly in a primary. What were you thinking the moment that you won?
I was at the Board of Elections last night waiting for the results to come in, and I saw the numbers, and I just, my campaign manager, Brian Lovell, we were there, and we just looked at it and went, wow. It felt good the whole time I've been running, but to actually see it in my first time, to see it in front of me and to see those numbers, I just give thanks to God for the path he put us on and leading us here, and just, wow. It was a bigger number than I thought.
Is there anything that you think gave you that edge?
Just that I was out there and I was talking to people and I was going places and being involved in the community, and as I was before, not like I just started this all of a sudden on January 2nd, but just interacting with my family, my friends, my neighbors, and people I didn't know and other agencies, and just talking about what Marion is going to be like in the future and have them be part of it with me.
Well, Kevin, it is such a pleasure to have you on, and congratulations on a big win last night, and I'm sure we will talk as time goes on. It really was an impressive win in a primary election against an incumbent and a current sitting city councilman, so my hat is off to you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for your time, and as I always say, we are Marion.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, thank you, bye.
Kevin Davidson, your, for all intents and purposes, new Marion County Commissioner, coming up in January, I believe it will be. That's an interesting race, because you had Kerr Murray, the incumbent, for several years. You had Jason Schauber, who a current city councilman, running for this position. And you had Kevin Davidson, a former deputy sheriff. And Kevin pulled it out, 39.51% of the vote. Second place, Jason Schauber, 30.84% of the vote. And Kerr Murray, the incumbent, in third place, 29.66% of the vote. So that's how it all turned out. And, of course, Andy Apfelfelder reelected. Again, no Democratic challenge in the fall. 53.94% of the vote to Timothy Mooney's 46.6% of the vote. Now, that's local. Also locally, we did have a Democratic primary for treasurer, county treasurer. Linda Davis defeated Karen Spencer. Linda Davis got 61.93% of the vote. Karen Spencer got 38.7% of the vote. So that was all very interesting. And then if you're interested, because we've covered some of this on the station, the Ohio representative race, Tracy Richardson won that primary 60% against Weslyn Davis's 40%. We also had the congressional runoff in the 4th district. This is who will face Jim Jordan come the fall. Tammy Wilson, who has been up against Jim Jordan in the past, the last time this happened, she got 63% of the vote, and Mr. Thomas, who was with us last week, got 37% of the vote, so Tammy Wilson will face Jim Jordan again in the fall. And then in the big Senate race, which got all the attention last night, Bernie Moreno, the candidate backed by former President Trump, got over 50% of the vote, 50.5% of the vote, followed by Mr. Dolan, who was backed by Governor DeWine, 32.9% of the vote. And then our Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, got 16.6% of the vote. That says something. We said it was going to say something yesterday as to these election results were going to say something in regard to the presidential election in Ohio, and certainly a candidate that President Trump backs still does very, very well. By the way, phone lines are open here if you want to get in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We certainly would love to hear from you. It was an interesting night, to say the least, and a lot of things happened. But it is very fascinating that in these commissioner races, there is no Democratic opposition, so really, there will be no races in the fall. So these primaries really counted for a lot as we head into the new terms of the county commissioners. Lack of Democratic candidates. This has been talked about by several different people, and I guess that's how we got to where we got. But again, congratulations to Kevin Davidson, and we thank him for calling in this morning and sharing his thoughts for where he hopes to go from here as he will take office in January. Now, I said yesterday we have a special guest coming up 9:15 until 10 this morning. You're not going to want to miss that. That's going to be a lot of fun because it's somebody we have not heard from in a while, and I think people will be interested in that interview, so stay tuned for that. But if you want to say something, now would be the time to do it. We've got about 25 minutes left in this hour. 740-383-9944. I should mention that I'm in the studio today, so it is the studio number, 740-383-9944, if you have anything to say in regard to the elections that happened last night. You know, I think a lot of people felt that Richardson would pull it off, 60-40, 60% to 40%. That's interesting. Tammy Wilson certainly did very well against Mr. Thomas, 63% to 37%. Now, most people listening to this station got to hear Mr. Thomas last Thursday. What do you think happened there? Why do you think Tammy Wilson did so well in that particular Democratic primary? And does the Bernie Moreno win with over 50% of the vote mean anything as we go into the fall? I felt that it was going to tell a story, certainly, but what kind of story does it tell? Not really sure at this particular point. But again, if you have any thoughts on it, we would love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, I thought I had written down the number of people who voted in Marion County and the percentage of people who voted, and apparently I did not write it down. So let me see if I can get that number here very quick. Okay, out of the 38,916 people who are registered in Marion County, 8,315 people voted in yesterday's primary. That's 21.37% of the voting population. So, you know, not a huge number, but it was a primary. And, you know, an interesting primary because normally our primaries come in May. And this one came in March because it is a presidential year. So we call that, well, you know, we're not a part of Super Tuesday anymore. You know, there was a time when Ohio was part of Super Tuesday, but we're not anymore. So I guess we're just a regular Tuesday on the election trail, on the primary circuit. It's interesting that that has changed. I don't know why that has changed. don't know if people went and voted yesterday because of the presidential election, because it was pretty well over, or is pretty well over. We know who the candidates are going to be. I don't know if that had any impact on anything yesterday. I really don't know. At that point, did people just want to show up and show support for their candidate? I'm not sure. Again, all very fascinating. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, I'll tell you something else that's interesting. Because in a primary, you do have to vote as a Republican or a Democrat. Now, 1,754 people voted as Democrats. 6,561 voted as Republicans. So in the primary, 78.91% of the vote was Republican voting in Marion, and 21.09% were Democrats. I think that should say something very interesting as well to what's going on here in Marion County. Now, I wanted to fly down this paper a little bit and look at the national election. Now, as far as for president, Donald Trump won big in Marion, 81.34% of the vote. But Nikki Haley in Marion did get over 12%, 12.57% here in Marion, even though that's over. So that's very interesting. And then when we go to, let's see here, I think we have... Who else do we have here? We have, of course, the Joe Biden race. I'm trying to find that to see how that all shook out, because I know he did have a primary opponent. I wonder how many people voted for or against that. Well, I can't find that number right off the top here. You know, you would think this would be a little easier than it is. Where is the name Biden? I cannot find the name Biden on this report. I see the Trump and Christie and DeSantis and Haley. I see all that. But trying to find the Democratic side of this, maybe it's down the page a little ways here. Let's see. The Democratic primaries, where are they? Well, you know, maybe somebody would be better than me at this point looking this up. Isn't that strange? Okay, wait a second. I think I'm on the right track now. I think I'm in the right area here. As we scroll up the page to see how this all shook out yesterday. Oh, here we are. Joseph Biden got 84%, 84.47% of the vote in Marion. And Dean Phillips, and I'm not even sure who that is, got 15.53% of the vote. So that's how that all shook out. All right, so those are the election results. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, if you have anything to say about how this all shook out. I should also mention in political news that independents had to file to run by March 18th, which was Monday, and we found out yesterday that Judge Edwards, who is an independent, will be running for re-election. He will be running against Republican Todd Anderson. That should be a very interesting race. And we talked with Republican Ray Grogan last week, and he did not have a challenger when we spoke to him last week. But as of, I guess yesterday, he does have an independent challenger in Jen Ryan. Now, Jen Ryan ran as an independent against Judge Teresa Ballinger last fall, did not win that particular race, but she is in against Ray Grogan this time, so we will have a race for prosecutor come the fall, Republican Ray Grogan and Jen Ryan, the independent. And then, of course, as I said, Judge Edwards, the independent, will face Todd Anderson, the Republican. Now, when it comes to being a judge, does political party mean a whole lot? I don't know. We certainly know what political party they're from and what they're registered as, but on the whole, does it mean a whole lot? I really don't know. I don't know. Does it mean anything to you? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, I certainly want to thank Kevin Davidson for coming on this morning after his big win last night, being elected a Marion County Commissioner. Again, in what was a very tough race, incumbent Kerr Murray getting 29.66% of that vote, and current City Councilman Jason Schauber getting 30.84% of that vote. That's how it all turned out. Now, does this mean Marion wants change? I don't know. You can look at this in two different ways, because Davidson and Schauber both did better than Kerr Murray did, and Kerr Murray's the incumbent. That's very unusual. But Andy Apfelfeller was reelected against Timothy Mooney, so I guess maybe we would say they didn't want change in that particular race. Maybe just in the Kerr Murray race. I don't know. So, well, any surprises or anything else on anybody's mind this morning? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The morning after the big primary. Was anybody interested in the primary? You know, primaries do not get as much attention as major elections in November. It doesn't look like a whole lot of people turned out yesterday in Marion County. I did not see a whole lot of I voted stickers yesterday that you normally see. I don't know. Didn't hear a whole lot of talk about it, to be honest with you. But I would say that being out there, shaking hands, talking to voters, certainly paid off in Kevin Davidson's case. Now, you know, there's something I do want to talk about. Now, as many of you heard me say earlier in the week, I had gotten a poinsettia. When was it? Saturday before Christmas. So this would have been like the 22nd of December. And that poinsettia did not die until last week. I think last week was the last week for it. And it still had the red leaves on it. And I will tell you, I did not water this thing on any continual basis. So how it lived that long, I have no idea. But in any event, weird how things happen. Yesterday, somebody gave me a shamrock plant. Now, has anybody ever had a shamrock plant? Now, mine's purple. Apparently, you can have purple ones and you can have green ones. Now, I guess during the day, the shamrock plant opens, and at night, the shamrock plant closes. Now, I was not looking at it last night, so that was the first night I was with the shamrock plant, so I don't know if it closed up at night. Does anybody know anything about shamrock plants? Purple shamrock plants. And how often should I be watering this thing? Because I bet this is a lot different than a poinsettia. And I'm wondering if I will have the 3-month run out of this shamrock plant that I had out of the poinsettia. I don't know. Does anybody have any ideas? Do any of you people with a green thumb out there this morning have any advice on a shamrock plant? To be honest with you, until yesterday, I never really knew anything about a shamrock plant. So this is a whole new wave for me. 740-383-9944. Remember, I am in the studio today. 740-383-9944. You know, what a nice-looking morning it is out there. It says 36 degrees, which is about 10 degrees warmer than it's been the last couple mornings. But looks just beautiful out there, not so dark and gray and hazy. You know, everywhere I go now, as we get closer to the eclipse, people are talking about it. What's going to happen? Are there going to be a lot of people coming to Marion? Is it going to cause a problem on the roadways? what's going to happen with that whole thing. I don't know. The more people talk, the more it makes me think that something will happen. But I can't say definitively that anything's going to happen. But you never know, I guess. Let's take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, my poinsettia is still alive.
With red leaves and all?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I'm trying to see how long I can keep it going.
Well, have you watered it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, see, but you're one up on me.
I know. But yours lasted pretty long without any water, didn't it?
Well, I told somebody the other day, I did not tell them I didn't water it, but I said, you know, my poinsettia just died last week, and they were shocked that it had lasted that long.
I know. This is the longest I've ever gone. Usually they die, like, you know, early February or right around there. But no, I'm gonna see how long this bad boy can go.
So what do you think that's all about? Why are they living longer this year?
I don't know. Maybe they're genetically modified like everything else.
Now, do you know anything about a shamrock plant?
Because no, I don't.
That's what I've moved on to now.
Do you have to water that regularly?
I'm sure you do, but jury's out on if I will or not.
So it's purple?
It's purple.
Oh, wow.
There were purple ones and green ones, and the person who gave me this one was, it was a purple one.
Okay.
Which I like that bit, because green, everything's green. But, you know, purple, that's different.
Yeah, but I'm sure you have Irish in you. The Irish would demand green, right?
Well, I think if you shake anybody's family tree, an Irish woman falls out.
That's right.
That's how that all works. But I don't know how I became a plant person. Somebody gave me a poinsettia at Christmas time. Now they're giving me a shamrock plant. I don't know how that happens. Maybe I'm born to be a gardener.
That's right. You got a green thumb.
Now, we do have a big special guest coming up next hour, so we've only got about 10 minutes here, but what do you make of all the election results?
Well, congratulations to Mr. Davidson. Yeah, that was, I think he ran a good campaign. And
that's, I was shocked, to be honest with you, because it was a three-way Republican race. Kerr Murray's the incumbent. I believe he's been there 8 years, if I'm wrong about it. He's been there a while. And that he would come in third place in that race, which only Republicans voted in, that was kind of shocking to me.
Yeah, it kind of was. You know, and then Andy Apfelfeller, how long has he been in office now? He won again.
He did, and I'm sure, I would have to think it's 20 or better at this point.
He's our very own Strom Thurmond at this point.
You know, but people like him. They keep putting him back in there.
I do. I want to see him keep going.
Yeah.
So I want him to live to be like 110 and still be Marion County Commissioner.
But you know
what's... That'd be another like 25, 30 years.
But you know what's interesting? Even in that race, Andy Apfelfeller, who's been there for, again, I think at least 20 years, I mean, his margin of victory was not huge. 53-46. I mean, in a Republican primary, that's not gigantic.
Well, did he really even campaign much? I mean, I didn't see very many signs, and I kind of doubt that he really had to campaign that much. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he was going door to door, kissing babies, the whole deal. But
well, it was close.
Yeah,
I mean, it was not a blow. I mean, if you look at this, Davidson won by more than Apfelfeller did.
Yeah.
I mean, Davidson won by 9%. Apfelfeller only won by about 8%.
Well, Davidson was pretty active, from what I saw. So.
You know, but everybody in that race, you had a former deputy sheriff in Davidson, you had a current city council member in Schauber, and you had the current commissioner in Murray, and yet it was, I think, when you get 9% or better, I think you do consider that a blowout.
Did Murray do much campaigning?
You know, that's an interesting thing, because I think he just decided to run again in December was the first time I'd heard that he was running again, and I didn't see a whole lot, but, you know, I don't know. I know Schauber had the billboard on Route 95 right there by, what is it now, the old St. Mary's High School. I know he had that billboard, and I know he was out knocking on doors. Certainly Davidson was. I don't know if he did a lot. I don't know if he thought, you know, hey, I'm the incumbent, and that holds a lot. I really don't know what happened.
How How old is he?
Kerr's in his 80s, early 80s.
Yeah. Well, the geriocracy, I guess.
Well, do you think there was some kind of lash against that last night? Because I those numbers are very shocking to me that Kerr, in his own party, got below 30%.
Well, how many people even know anybody? They don't. They go off of name recognition. You know, there are some voter guides out there, but, you know, most people don't know. So, you know, they just pick a name if they've heard of it. I think a lot of people do that. Not everybody, but a lot of people do. And, you know, you have, if there's the studies I've read, you know, a lot of times women, if it's a female candidate and they don't know anything about anybody, they'll go with that one. So I guess it's just luck of the draw, I suppose.
So any thoughts on Tammy Wilson getting another shot at Jim Jordan by quite a large margin, 63%? And we had Mr. Thomas in here last week, only got 37%.
Well, I think Jordan's pretty well established, so he's probably going to be fairly difficult to unseat, I would think.
In that very ugly state rep race, Richardson did pull it off, 60-40%. I mean, that's not a huge margin in your own party, but she did.
Yeah. No, it was fairly close, but yeah. And then, of course, Marino. Your boy Marino.
Well, it's very interesting because he got over 50% of the vote. Dolan, closest thing to it, 32.9, and LaRose, our own Secretary of State, 16.6. What does that say after Trump came in on Saturday to campaign for him?
Well, Dolan was probably the kiss of death from DeWine.
So anybody, you don't want the DeWine endorsement?
No. If DeWine says, came here and give me a present, I would reject it.
So if DeWine wants to endorse you, you run in the opposite direction.
Right.
Well, what happened to DeWine? Obviously, he was popular enough to get elected to governor twice and a whole lot of other offices throughout his career.
Again, it's the whole party politics and, you know, the infrastructure in place to select who the party wants. And, you know, I remember DeWine when I was a kid. I think he was first elected, to state rep in, like, 94 with the wave that came in with Newt Gingrich. Is that, do you remember that, Scott?
I do, but I think he might have been in there earlier than that.
Oh, no, he's a career politician for sure.
Yeah.
But I think that was the first time he got elected to U.S. representative was in that election. And I was a young lad, but I remember, you know, he would wear a blazer or sport coat that was lined with, like, plaid. Do you remember that?
He was a snazzy dresser.
Well, he made it, I remember, and again, I was a kid, and I remember him, you know, focusing on that, like, oh yeah, my sport coat is lined with plaid because I'm blue collar. You know, I come from, I think his dad was a postman or something like that, wasn't he?
Is that what that's a sign of? Plaid sports coat means
that's what
blue collar?
Right. That's what he said during that campaign. Now, that was many moons ago. And I remember just being a kid being like, you're not working class. You've probably never worked a day in your life. And you're just a scumbag politician that's trying to play on that, you know?
Well, that's just very interesting because I was not aware that was a sign of blue collar, was that plaid goes with blue collar hand in hand. I didn't know that.
Well, I guess if you're highbrow, your suit coats are lined with silk.
Oh, is that what it? Okay.
Yeah.
So you got to have the nice sport coat.
The Scott Spears.
Yeah, well, that's, I don't own a plaid sports coat, so I guess I'm not blue collar. I didn't realize this whole thing.
No, it was lined with plaid. It was like a blue blazer that was lined with plaid or flannel or something.
Did he only have one sports coat that he wore around?
I think during that season, yes, during that election.
Well, that might say blue collar.
That was his go-to, was to say, like, oh, yeah, look at this.
You know,
I'm like you.
Well, okay. That's the way it works, I guess. So, I mean, did you hear a lot of talk about this election? I mean, only 21.37% of Marion voters turned out yesterday.
Well, that's not abnormal for primary, off-cycle elections, I guess.
Well, that's why, to me, the whole issue one thing was so fascinating in not even a primary that went on, when was that, last August, the people who turned out were in astronomical numbers, certainly, even in Marion County, certainly far more than turned out yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was an emotionally charged, what they call a wedge issue, and then with how convoluted the wording was, I know there was allegations that Frank LaRose deliberately sabotaged. Have you heard those allegations?
Well, is this where he came out and said this is about abortion and that's the deal?
Well, it was how people were confused on what they were voting for, if they were in favor or they were opposed. And this was the one that preceded that vote. So it was the one where they wanted 60%.
Well, I mean, can we, though, now say that the wording confused people because it passed by about the same margin in November?
Yeah, but, Scott, I don't know how many people that I talked to after that one where it was trying to increase the threshold to 60% on constitutional issues, where they voted and then they told me, oh yeah, I voted for this and well, if you voted that way, then you voted the exact opposite of what you intended to. They were confused. I had multiple people tell me that after that election. And I think the allegation was that he sabotaged it by his office was in charge, or he was ultimately responsible for composing the language of that measure. And when I saw it, I'm like, this is stupid. This is not well written at all. It's not clear. You can figure it out if you researched it a little bit or read it carefully, but the average person, they're not going to know. And I ran into quite a few people who wanted to increase that threshold to change our state constitution, and they voted the exact opposite way unintentionally.
And that's unfortunate if that happened. We got to go to break. We got a big guest coming up next hour. Stay tuned. I think you'll enjoy this guest.
All right, Scott. Good luck.
Thanks for calling. All right, we'll be back in about 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
With that electricity, if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you,